Reading the Kingdom, we are back, and this is our top six rookie quarterback rankings, and me and Coach are back at it, and we have a special guest. Coach, how are we doing tonight, bud?
We're doing good, good. So, like, I got a buddy at work who's also a passionate football fan that kind of comes in line with what this podcast is about, right? It's about rivalries, and there's one thing us Chiefs and Raiders fans can agree on, our dislike of the Denver Broncos. And that's where my buddy Nick comes in. So if Nick wants to give a little tidbit about himself, drop his Twitter handle and stuff like that, you go ahead now, buddy.
Yeah. That's going to be me. I'm going to be the enemy. Twitter handle is STL_Bronco. If you can figure out where I'm from and who I like, that's impressive detective work by you.
Pretty revealing. Yeah.
Yep. I've been working with Coach for about 3 years and I'm ready to roll and talk to some Broncos here.
There we go. So, What's nice about this is while we have our disdain for the Donkeys, Coach is alone that he has not in search of a quarterback per usual, but Nick and I are in desperate need for one.
Desperate need.
For both of our fan bases. So, I mean, I hope you guys pick a stinker. I'm sure you hope the same for us. So, I guess we're on the same page there as well.
You think the Broncos need a quarterback? That's weird. Mm-hmm. I was actually, Jared said, I'm just rolling 10 years or so.
Yeah, that's it. If you want, he was fine with us, but if you want to stroll him out for 10 years, you go right ahead.
Yeah. Burrow before Jamarcus Russell.
You really have to bring him up this early?
Dude, yeah,
we're like two minutes in.
Okay, I was kind of a cheap shot.
Yeah. Yeah. You could be like everyone else though when I talk about Jaden Daniels, another LSU quarterback. That's the newest one, right? You have not heard that yet. No. So we're going to give you guys our top six quarterbacks. We each have our own rankings. I have seen Coaches. I have not seen Nick, so that will be a bit of a surprise. I'm going to give them to you in reverse order, 6-1. If anyone wants to disagree, chime in on the comments. I'm sure that Coach and Nick will have their own comments about it. I have my opinions, and that's it. So here we go. I'm going to start with number six. It's J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. He can throw good intermediate routes. He can move in and out of the pocket. He actually hangs pretty tough, Michigan tough, whatever, go blue, whatever you want to call it. His arm talent is not top tier, as a lot of, I would say, the spotlight analysts are pointing out. He hasn't been asked to do a whole lot in the Michigan offense. He hasn't taken over games. It's not really his fault that he's had a decent supporting cast, but he doesn't seem to like moving in and out of structure, and reading defenses at times has been a struggle for him. And that's something I think kind of anyone could see, that you don't have to have dissected five of his games. I watched three of them and it was pretty clear. My comp is not one I've seen around often. Jimmy Garoppolo. That's who he reminds me of. The fact that he's moving into the top four discussion is extremely alarming. It's very Trey Lance-ish to me. Would either of you draft Jimmy Garoppolo with the fourth pick overall in the draft? Probably not.
Absolutely not.
Right. So I think we're just getting a little hysteric where guys are looking at traits and ceiling, which I understand, but it's getting a little bit ridiculous. So I'm not going to sit on J.J. McCarthy for the whole time, but he is number six on my list. So he is the bottom for the top six. Number five, I'm going to go with Bo Nix. He's an athlete. He can create plays, very good arm strength. He's accurate. Kind of similar to J.J. McCarthy, what he was called to do was a lot of RPOs, a lot of screens, short passes. He can throw it down the field. He can make big plays, but that's not something that we saw was the norm in Oregon. So he's still enticing, another high ceiling guy, I guess you could say. My comp for him was kind of a slower Jalen Hurts, but he's definitely not as fast. So I'm going to put him at number five. Number four is a guy that I could see the Raiders potentially taking if they're not able to trade up in the draft. Picking him at 13, I think, would be a mistake, but he's definitely a viable option for the Raiders, is Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. Excellent deep ball accuracy. He's aggressive. He is somewhat mobile. There's not really a lot of limits to throws he can make on the field. Obviously, the big issues we have there are he doesn't have great touch on the ball. Everything kind of seems to be a rocket. He's not great under pressure. He does fine against the bad teams that don't have much of a pass rush. And then his injury history, obviously, is a huge concern. Those knees. Coach knows I was not ecstatic when the Raiders took Tyree Wilson last year. I said, oh, great, the guy with one foot. he ended up being okay. Not really seventh overall pick worthy, but he ended up being okay and a developmental player. So the risk there, obviously, with Michael Penix is pretty high. And it's not just because he's a lefty, but I'm comping him to Tua Tagovailoa from the Dolphins. Number three, Drake May, athletic, good under pressure. He's accurate. He can throw the ball down the field. His pocket management, he has some weird picks, and he can easily be tricked by disguised coverages like a lot of quarterbacks can, but it's just something noticeable. He's number three. I know Coach is kind of like looking around at this one because he's a big Drake May guy. I'm going to put him at number three, and number two is probably where I'm going to take the most flack either now or in the future. I'm going to give Caleb Williams the number two spot. Caleb Williams is not number one like every other mock draft or rankings in the world. Pocket passer, he can make something out of nothing, arm talent, big bombs, accurate, explosive plays. He can do a whole lot, and it's flashy, and it's great. How it's going to translate to the pros is the big question. And his footwork is questionable. I'm seeing a lot of off-balance throws that you're able to get away with in the college ranks. I don't know how he'll do in the pros with that. He is exciting to watch, but he can be a little reckless at time. And some of his throws that did result in turnovers or just missed plays, it was, you know, he had some off timing with his throws. And on the flip side, if we're looking at pure talent here, my issue with him is if we're not going off pure talent, is that off field, he seems to be kind of a reckless guy. You know, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is taking this whole not participating to a whole nother degree. Caleb Williams had his pro day yesterday. We're recording this on Thursday, the 21st. But he just doesn't seem to follow the conventional path. He doesn't have an agent. He's getting a lot of info from his dad. We've been talking about this all off season, and even sometimes before the Super Bowl, about his, you know, his requirements for the NFL, which when you're a rookie, you really can't have requirements. You take what you get. So Caleb Williams is my second guy. I don't feel as confident about his future in the NFL and even within an NFL locker room as I do with my number one guy, LSU, Jaden Daniels, not Jamarcus Russell. Poise, escapability, rushing threat. He's careful with the ball. He's accurate. He's tough in the pocket. Obviously, he does have some cons. He takes a lot of unnecessary hits. Coach, I see you smirking. His frame.
He didn't see what I did before that. But...
What did you do? Did he throw up?
I did.
Okay. One of those.
Daniels love. Yeah. Well, one of those.
I'll try to edit that one out.
I can't.
And Jaden does do some of what I've seen some of the other mobile quarterbacks do, is they give up on the play because they see the potential to run and just do that instead, where it might have gained 15, but if it was going to result in a touchdown and you didn't see your ex receiver wide open down the sideline, it's an issue, which is something we've seen like Jaden Daniels Lamar, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, some of the rushing quarterbacks do that. They miss the plays and just go for the run because that's a little more familiar, comfortable, and easier for them than processing what's going on in front of them down the field. So Jaden's comp is going to be Lamar Jackson, or as our friend Field Yates calls him, Lamar Jackson Light. But I'm going to give him the number one spot. He just seems to have a great attitude. I know he didn't participate in the combine. He had a better excuse for Caleb Williams why he didn't participate. His pro days at the end of the month, I'm very much looking forward to seeing that. He is obviously my ideal candidate for the Raiders to draft. But Jaden Daniels is my number one, and I'm not backing down. Here is the actual list right there. There's your boy Drake at number three, Coach. What up? And that is my list. Sticking to it. Comments, critiques, or do you just want to go into coaches? How are we doing?
I think, you know, obviously all of our quarterbacks are going to be, I think, relatively similar in our rankings, right? So I think we can probably just go into mine, and then we can just, you know, add a little on to each instead of just singling it out, if that makes sense.
Go for it, dude. Let's go.
Okay, so number six for myself is going to be Bo Nix. Bo Nix, you know, Auburn guy, transferred to Oregon, was, I think, relatively successful at Oregon. Didn't really get the job done what most people thought he would at Auburn. I think a lot of the things you said about Bo Nix are accurate. I think he's probably, in my mind, more of a second round guy. Probably wound up in the first round. For me, he reminds me of very Drew Lock-ish, Sam Howell-ish. Very like fringe starter.
Better watch your mouth here.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Big Drew guy.
Big Drew Lock guy. Yeah, he's a Mizzou guy, so you know we obviously have that connection to Drew Lock. But yeah, Bo Nix, Drew Lock, Sam Howell type. I think fringe starter, depending on the team, but obviously either way, I think would be solid in the NFL. Probably more on the second line, so maybe like a backup, but we'll see. For me, if I would be JJ McCarthy. Solid at Michigan. I think he had like one loss in his career, led him to a national championship, obviously lost in the playoffs the year before. Harbaugh rants and raves about this guy like he's a second coming. You know, he's the greatest Michigan quarterback ever, and that says a lot because obviously Tom Brady was a Michigan guy. I think he'll be solid. To me, he is in the realm of this is going to sound weird, but like a Daniel Jones, very like wish.com Josh Allen. Like, I think he can be, he's got a
ooh, I like that. Wish.com Josh Allen.
Wish.com Josh Allen. I think he has the ability to improve. I think he, you know, needs to go to a team that obviously has some offensive weapons like he had at Michigan. You know, Michigan, you know, built on a great line and a great running game. That's what he's used to. I think, you know, needs to go to a team that's got that as a solid line, solid running game, and that will help him progress. But I think down the line he could end up being a very solid solid quarterback in the future.
What round would you take him in?
I would still take him in the first round. I wouldn't take him in the top five, like, you know, a lot of people are saying could possibly happen with trades and whatnot. But I think he's, you know, he's a mid first round guy would be my grade.
I think mid is a good word.
Yeah, like 13 for Vegas would be perfect. And then for me, Michael Penix as well. We both have similar thoughts on him. You know, obviously he's had a relatively long career. Started, I believe, at Indiana, went to Washington, made them a successful program, got them to the playoffs. Is very solid. Obviously, his knee issues are something to be concerned about. For him as a pro comp, that's tough. I would say like a Geno Smith would be someone I think you would compare Penix to. I think he's probably late first, early second type guy, I would think. But you know, with the way the quarterbacks and the way teams need quarterbacks now, they'll probably get himself into the first round. For three, I got Jaden Daniels. You know, obviously
who's above him?
Who's above him? Who could be possibly above Jaden Daniels, who had a fourth round grade
in the
season? Had great wide receivers, had a great offense at LSU.
He had
two great wide receivers, couldn't win the big games. Not a big deal. But Jaden Daniels to me is old school. So I'm gonna throw it back. He is and I'm gonna use another comp that I just used, but he's like a Pat White, Geno Smith, those old school West Virginia teams that were just like highlight real guys. But Pat White didn't end up doing it really anything in the NFL, and Geno Smith has been solid, but that's where I see Jaden Daniels. I think he'll be solid, but I don't think he's going to be what you think, that he's going to like resurrect the Raiders into being good again. And, you know,
he'll resurrect any team he goes to besides the Patriots. He'll be in the playoffs in 2026. I guarantee it.
You guarantee it. Okay.
I guarantee it. 2026. He'll be in the playoffs regardless of what team, as long as it's not the Patriots.
Okay. All right. That's fair. We'll see if that happens. You know, you can dream. Two is Caleb Williams. Now we both have Caleb Williams. Yeah. Caleb, I think we can all can agree athletically, he's probably the most talented quarterback. I would think gifts, just God given
physical attributes. Yeah.
Physical attributes as a quarterback. He's probably the most gifted quarterback in this class. And he would have been the number one pick last year, so on and so forth. But I just don't think he's got the right mindset to be.
He's a weirdo.
He's a weirdo. Yeah. Apparently he made like $10 million since he's been at USC. Lives in a penthouse.
I saw that penthouse, dude. Yeah. That thing's ridiculous.
Yeah. I just don't think he, especially now with the NIL and stuff like that, the grind and the determination and the grit for these guys to really get better is not necessarily a thing as much as it was before. Caleb Williams, to me, like athletic talent wise, he reminds me a lot of a CJ Stroud, but inside, I don't know. I mean, he'll end up being the number one pick. I'm almost guaranteed of that. He'll be one or two without a doubt, but long-term he's got to get his head right. And he's got to get into a locker room where you got really good veteran leaders that are going to hold him accountable get in his face, not let him be a little, you know what, I'll try and keep right. As PG
it,
as I
keep
can.
Keep it cool for the kids, yeah.
Yes.
Mentally, but, I see a little like Josh Rosen in there. I don't know if that, that correlates, but...
Yeah, don't let him be rhymes with tushy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think DJ Moore already said he's going to stay on him. But yeah, he mentioned 100%. He mentioned the legacy of Justin Field, which also confused me. He had me until mm-hmm. that point.
And then my number one is Mr. Drake May from North Carolina. I have liked Drake May since the beginning. I think he would have been a top flight pick last year if he came out. Obviously, last year he had a really good season with North Carolina. He had a lot of weapons. This year he did not, but he stayed. He stayed, and that's one of the things I really like about Drake May is that his dedication and his work ethic. He easily could have gone to, he got offered by like Alabama, Notre Dame. Some of these other schools were offering him big money to come play for them for a year, and he stuck it out with North Carolina, fully knowing the situation that the team wasn't going to be as good as they were the year before. So I think he's a team player. He's got the athletic attributes. He's going to get better. He's got great arm strength. He's got great. I think he's got underrated pocket mobility. I think, you know, whatever team gets him, there'll be some growing pains like there are with most quarterbacks. But I think long term, at the end of this draft, we're going to look back and Drake May is going to be that. He's going to be that dude. And I told Brandon this, and that was, and I said, out of this draft, it's going to be Drake May, and I'm sticking to it. So, yeah. And as far as comp goes, I would say Justin Herbert would be a solid comp to him. And, you know, Justin's been solid since he's been in the NFL. Obviously, he's on a team that none of us like, but you got to give respect where respect's due. Yeah, I think Drake May is going to be a very, very good, solid NFL player.
See, and I didn't like Justin Herbert coming out. I was really happy when the Chargers took him, and he's proved me wrong. So...
Well, Nick, 100%. I know you've listened to the show and this is your first time being on, but I've told the story a few times when the Chiefs drafted Pat Mahomes. I was watching the draft at a bar and I was just ripping into my buddy that's a Chiefs fan and he was upset at the same time. And I don't laugh anymore about
Pat Mahomes. Nope, very few laughs going on now.
Yeah.
We did break the streak. Broke the streak. So only streak left is an 8-game losing streak to the Raiders, which is awesome.
Is it 10 now? Is it 10 now?
Or I think it's 8 now.
Okay, it's 8 now. So
I'm gonna
see that.
Even if it's not, I'm gonna say 8 because it feels better. But I'm pretty sure it's 8.
That's fair. And before we get to Nick's list, Coach, I'm gonna agree with you on. I still conventionally can't put Caleb Williams in that number one spot. So even though we have our interjection with Jaden Daniels falls or where Drake May falls, I still think those three are the top three. The two things most surprising in the draft right now, which I'm sure Nick can touch on too, is the slide of Drake May, the rise of J.J. McCarthy is just very confusing to me. I haven't seen Drake May do anything, say anything, any issues pop up that should cause him to slide. You know, he was my favorite until I started to dig a little further and really got into Jaden Daniels tape, but I'm still going to put him in. Caleb Williams, I just put in the middle because those the attributes.
Yeah, I think the McCarthy thing is like, you know, he's just such a winner at Michigan, and then you get Harbaugh now in the NFL who just rants and raves about him, anonymous source. Gut feeling, Drake May's gonna be that dude, 100%.
Absolutely, we'll see, and I think it's gonna be Jaden, Nick. It's time for your list. Oh, wait, hold on 1 second. If anyone missed Coach's list, here it is right here. Drake May, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Penix, McCarthy, and Bo Nix. And Nick, give us your top six.
All right. I mean, not to be the background, just noise repeating. So I'll keep it pretty short. My list.
If you want to say you 100% agree with me, go for it. Yeah, if you just say
it's Jaden close. Daniels it's not best, quite. It's
not
it's
quite
close.
As close. I'll take that.
So – number six, I've also got J.J. McCarthy, pretty much for the same reason you guys said. If the Vikings want to trade up to 4 and get him, that is fine with me because I think Sean Payton is going to be a guy that likes him a lot. I think he is a guy that likes him a lot. And, I mean, Sean Payton knows more than I do, I'm sure, but just not a guy that I'm super interested in the Broncos taking. If he does, I'll back him. That's the job, but he's just – like you guys said, he's a winner, but he had a lot of talent around him, handing the ball off to Blake Corum a lot. We'll see. So yeah, he's my number six guy. Number five, I also go into Bo Nix. Dual threat, struggles a bit with the deep ball, it seems, but for Sean Payton, he honestly might be the best fit. That short passing, the intermediate passes, I think his completion percentage was 77% or 78%. I mean, Sean Payton's going to like that, especially after the quarterback play we've had recently, not to name any names, because I can't, because it goes on for almost 10 years. So it's not just Russ. Again, keeping it short and sweet, I'm going to go with Bo Nix as well. He's a guy that I wouldn't hate if Denver picked him. Am I super thrilled? Not particularly. But do I think he has the capabilities? For sure. Pulling up my list. Give me just a second here. Make sure I hit everything there. He
Cute list so far. So
yeah. Oh, you know what? One thing I also wanted to touch on with JJ McCarthy, just the decision making, like you talked about. Even the first play of the Alabama game, he rolls out. He's got an open guy right in the flats and tries to force one on the sideline. Should have been picked off, and it just wasn't. And when I was watching that game, that was pretty much my moment for him. It was, why would you even try to throw that ball? Even if you've got the best arm in the league, that ball is just, it felt like decision-making to me. Just wanted to make a play. And I'm not a JJ McCarthy guy.
Right. And how much more pressure is he going to face in the NFL to make plays? And this time the corner or the safety is going to drop and they're going to pick it off and take it to the house probably.
Yeah. Most NFL DBs aren't dropping that ball. So, yeah. Number four, this may surprise you, I also have Michael Penix. This is where my list starts, where if Denver picks him at 12, I'm not going to be too upset. Now, most people are projecting him as a second round pick. If they can get back and pick him in the second, that's perfectly fine with me. My thing with that is, if you've got some good intel and you know for sure that you can trade back, pick up some draft picks and pick him, great. If you like him, just go get him. Just make the pick. If Sean Payton likes his guy, just pick him. Right, we've all seen the stat going around about Penix, only 4,500-yard passer twice in a row in college other than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's got the talent. Like you guys said, it's the injury concerns for him. I'm not as worried about the injury concerns. I get that there could be an issue, but two full healthy seasons. He's only 23. People act like he's coming in the league at 29. He's only 23. And if you, let's say you think JJ McCarthy can go for 15 years, but you think Michael Penix can go for 10 just because he's older and he's more injured, give me the 10 with the better quarterback. All day. All day. And we'll figure it out after that. It is what it is. But just because JJ McCarthy's younger and you think he'll last a little bit longer, if he's not as good, what does it matter?
Well, and I think success in this league can require some maturity. And if you have a guy that's 23, you know, 23 versus a 20-year-old can be light years in life experience and difference. And I think that could pay off. So, no, good point.
Yep. I do really like Michael Penix. And as far as our draft position and availability is where they're going to be, I think Michael Penix is an option, is the best option in that spot. I still think Bo Nix is probably more popular for Sean Payton. I think that's probably the route he would go, but I'm in for Michael Penix.
You would prefer Penix over Bo Nix, what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. I would personally. Bo Nix, like I said, I'm not going to be upset about. I don't want JJ McCarthy, if I'm being honest. It doesn't get me excited. He threw, what he averaged, like 200 yards a game in college.
Yeah.
How in the world is that even an upgrade from Russ? Now, is he going to be better? It's possible, but 200 yards a game. I mean, it's
like a Drew Lock stat right there.
Hey, you better watch it. Hey, he could have 330. He just also had some 200 with three picks, you know.
Right.
But here's the deal about Drew. At least he was interesting.
He was interesting. Yeah.
Just
Drew made it fun.
You got a cannon.
Yeah.
Number three, you got Drake May. Again, just kind of what you guys talked about. Talent-wise, he's incredible. Got a great long ball. Built like a man. like he's built like an NFL quarterback. I mean, he's a big dude. Done it for a couple years. I think 2022, he was even a little better. Is that correct? Within 23?
Coach,
you're
keeping on his stats a little more than I was.
I think he had a better completion percentage this year than he did last year. But I think overall stat-wise, I thought he was better in 2022 than he was this year. But
Yeah. That's what I said. Sorry. Yep. I think he was better in 22. Still good, obviously. And he's built like a guy that I think Sean Payton, again, could have a lot of fun with. Talent-wise, he's my number three. That's where I've got him. Number two, you guys ready? I may break the tie here. Number two, I actually have Jaden Daniels.
Your funeral.
Jaden.
See if Nick gets back invited on the show now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't blame you, but for reasons other than my list.
No, let's hear it. Justify it. I want to hear it.
So, Jaden Daniels, in your defense, I think could have, if not for sure, does have the highest ceiling in the draft. I think his talent is unbelievable, and if I'm picking a quarterback for the Broncos to take, he's my number one. I think because I'm a little bit of a risk taker. If you don't want to take a risk, I get making the Caleb Williams pick. I prefer Jaden Daniels, I think, personally, but it's really close. If you're making a safe pick, I think it's Caleb. Jaden Daniels, my only thing with him is he played for a couple years before this year. Wasn't anything to write home about particularly. The first game of this year definitely wasn't anything to write home about. But after that, the kid turned it on. And is it more coaching? Is it more him? I don't know. I suppose we'll find out. But talent-wise, I mean, the kid's a freak. 50 total touchdowns to 5 interceptions. You could sign a Broncos fan up for 50 touchdowns whenever you want to. I promise. It's not going to be a tough sell. So just keeping it short, I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels. And then Caleb Williams, number one, like you guys talked about, just the consistency, the playmaking ability. I mean, he's got it all incredible from outside of the pocket. The only thing is that I think he does also tend to look for a big play, getting out of the pocket, making a play a little bit more than he should. But it's kind of the same as Patrick Mahomes. I know everybody's comped to him, but I think Patrick Mahomes does that too. He looks for the big play too much, but guess what? It works. He completes the big play. So when it doesn't work, it looks like Russell Wilson trying to make a turnaround and getting sacked 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Guess what? When it does work, it looks like Patrick Mahomes. And that's the difference. So if he can make it work, good for him. I mean, I think consistency wise, he's the number one overall pick.
I agree. I think USC had a bad year this year, and that
for sure
their defense was terrible. So I think a lot of that kind of came back on him, and he had some questionable games like against Notre Dame and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So
and for him, it's longevity too. I talked about it with Jaden Daniels. The last couple of years, he wasn't great. He finally turned it on. Caleb's kind of been the guy since he took over at Oklahoma. I mean, he's been really good. I had a couple of struggle games, and again, the off the field stuff, which I don't think even came up until this year. I just doing some weird stuff.
No, I don't think there was a lot of chatter about it up until like just now, like you said.
And I think some of the stuff with him too is just draft guys. All they do is talk about the draft, right? So they've been talking about him for 3 years. And it's just fatigue, I think, a lot of it on him. It's the same I've heard a lot with Brock Bowers. Like, they've been talking about him for a while, and he's still the top tight end, but people just get sick of talking about the same thing, which is exactly why I'm going to end my list here, because I'm pretty much just echoing you guys at this point.
Well, for everyone listening, so there was – or everyone watching, actually, that – I mean, none of them are the same. Here's Nick's list right here. Caleb Williams 1, Jaden 2, Drake May 3, Penix 4, Bo Nix 5, and JJ McCarthy 6, where he belongs. But you know, I'm there's none of these that I would say are like, this is clickbait, like you're putting this dude at 1. Are you crazy? Like all of them make sense, and all of them have their own reasons for being in those top 3 or the bottom 3. I think that people though that are just kind of shuttling, you know, Bo Nix into 4, or as we've seen right now, like JJ McCarthy into 3, It's a little mind-blowing and concerning. I mean, the NFL, these teams know more than we do, but I think you do get in the habit of overanalyzing. And I said it before, like we saw with the 49ers, they did their big gamble on Trey Lance, and it only seemed to make sense to them. You know, I do not like Justin Fields, but I think him on the Niners would have been a far better option than Trey Lance, and obviously it ended up working that way. And none of us in this chat are GMs, but I think we could kind of see the writing on the wall with that one before it really kicked off.
I was going to ask you this, Nick. Bo Nix at 12, are you comfortable with that?
Man, that's a tough spot. I think that'll be the pick that they will make and they will be comfortable. I would prefer it a little bit lower than that, but it's just the quarterback premium. I don't think you're going to be able to drop back to, you know, 27, 28 and be able to make that pick. So I think he's going to be gone, and that's why people move up. I'm more comfortable with JJ McCarthy in that back spot. JJ at 12, no. Bo Nix, I'm interested enough. It at least keeps this season interesting. Anything above that, Michael Penix, Drake May, if he falls somehow, anything above that for sure.
I think if Drake May falls, a lot of teams will try and move up.
If he falls even to six, well, at six, probably the Giants take him, honestly. But even if he falls that low, Denver just doesn't have the draft capital either. So we can't compete with the Vikings with two first-round picks this year, that kind of stuff. But if they want to trade up for McCarthy, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, you guys are picking at 12, we're at 13. The scenario I've been kind of floating out there is obviously if we can't move up enough to get Jaden Daniels, he's not going to fall. That dream is pretty much dead.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't really like Penix at 13 if they could go like Terry and Arnold, the corner from Alabama, and then if they have to trade, because we do have a little bit of capital, trade back into the first. And get Penix, that's fine if it's near the, like, those bottom five spots in the first round. I could see him going there just based on, like you said, demand. I think the value, I don't know about him at 12 or 13. Like, I know if you need a quarterback, you need him. If you're that scared, someone's going to come up and get him. But
yeah, and that's the issue, just the premium. If anybody needs a quarterback, somebody's going to come get him. And kind of like I started, if Sean Payton wants Michael Penix and that's the guy he wants, or whoever, insert quarterback here, if he wants him, don't wait. There's just no point because we need a quarterback. One of the Broncos' main issues is a couple of our positions of need, you just don't draft that high. Like one of them is interior D-line. You're probably not, unless it's an elite player, you're not going to make that pick there.
Byron Murphy?
We need, anything's possible at this point with this team, I suppose. But like inside linebacker, we could probably use some help. You're probably not going to do that. So if a quarterback falls, guess what? We need a quarterback too. So if it's a guy that you love, just take him. But the Bo Nix question is just really floating with me. At 12 is a tough spot.
I think at 12 you're reaching. I think a lot of this draft is really depending on what Minnesota wants to do. Honestly don't think the Giants are going to go quarterback this year. I think they're going to give Daniel Jones one more chance.
I think you're probably right.
And you saw they took JJ McCarthy out to dinner. Did you see that? The Giants took him out to dinner. And it would be
very,
visit.
Very Giant-esque.
It's just a little. It's a little beyond due diligence to me, though. It makes sense. They drafted Daniel Jones at 4. Why not take JJ McCarthy at 6? Shoot for the moon. Yep. Yeah.
They paid Daniel. Was it last offseason?
Yeah.
They paid
his
him.
His dead cap hit, I think this year is 80 something million. Like
see,
that.
I yeah, it,
it's absurd.
It's like we said, the Bears control the draft. They're getting Caleb Williams, and then it's just are the Patriots. I think the Patriots are a very interesting spot because, like a lot of teams, you don't want to have another Bryce Young fiasco.
Yep,
they don't have any talent on the team. They have no talent on the team. Is it worth drafting a quarterback when you? Even in free agency, you didn't really improve your stock as far as getting offensive talented players. So to me, you grab a top flight wide receiver there and kind of just know that you're going to be bad for a couple of years and get your quarterback next year. Just improve all the weapons around him an attack, and then a quarterback drops too if the Patriots don't take him. So it'll be very interesting.
And Daniel Jones' dead cap is $69 million with a cap hit of around 45. So I mean, you do the math, and they end up taking about $24 million off the cap if they were to get rid of him this year, which you know they're not. Yeah. So it's an absurd scenario to go into. But you know, a lot of tough choices really for you and me. Last year, coach was once again in the 32nd position in the draft, so he had to wait till the end of the night. But he also wasn't that stressed out, whereas I was making graphics for CJ Stroud, and then who's that? Jalen Carter. Cause I thought then he was going to come up to Vegas, and obviously that didn't end up happening. So it was a wild night, but we'll see. Like the Broncos and Raiders, I think are going to have to make some kind of a move, whether they go down or up, or stagnant would be interesting in this scenario.
If Broncos go stagnant, I don't know that they pick a quarterback. Because I think if they like a guy enough, Sean's going to figure out something to go up. If they don't, I think they may go back. If they stay at 12, I don't know what they'll do. I suppose Brock Bowers is possible. I just don't see a scenario where they ride with Jarrett Stidham into the season. And they've missed out on all the free agents. I mean,
right?
Everybody's gone. So
give you a first-round pick for Gardner Minshew. He's all yours.
Oh. I like Gardner actually, but obviously
no, I do too. Pick. I'm not interested in Devontae Adams having to deal with another bridge quarterback. I want a man of royalty to have a king, and that king is Jaden Daniels.
That's like, you know, right, I'm surprised Eric? Really the Broncos didn't do anything like that, especially maybe like a Mac Jones when he was available, that he got traded for pretty much nothing, just to take a flyer on him. The post June 1st cap, you know, the cuts. I don't know if there'll be really any quarterbacks there, so I don't know, man. I just don't think Bo Nix at 12 is the right move, the value there.
I don't necessarily personally disagree. Again, just kind of like I've pointed to, if that's the guy Sean wants and Sean says I can win with this guy, you trust Sean more than you trust Nick, so give him a shot, give him his guy, do what you got to do, I suppose. But am I going to be thrilled? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Likely not. Well, that's where we're about to wrap it up. And the quote that I had missed, actually, we were talking about Caleb Williams. Jalen Johnson said, "You can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building." I haven't seen a quote like that about any other quarterback. That's a little telling. And that's your leader on the defense. So that's like Max Crosby saying, you know, don't come in here with that nonsense. So I think even if they don't know him well enough, that's the aura that has been generated around Caleb Williams. And it's probably not going to go away unless – once he gets in the league and we see how he really is, but you know, those stories don't usually come out till someone gets kicked off a team or something like that.
I actually have a question for coach, if you don't mind.
Ooh, roll with it.
I want to throw out a hypothetical to you to kind of gauge where outsiders see the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
So Drake May is your favorite, right?
Yeah.
Let's say Drake May falls.
Right.
Are you more scared of him landing on the Broncos or more scared of him landing on the Raiders?
Ooh, let's hear your answer.
Which team is more dangerous?
I would say the Broncos, because of Sean Payton and what he's able to do to quarterbacks, especially, you know, what he did with Drew Brees, turn him into a, you know, a Hall of Famer.
Bro, Antonio Pierce spanked that on Christmas. Do you forget the Christmas game? It was the highlight of your year.
Yeah, it was the highlight. It's the highlight.
What do you think we would do with Drake May? That was Aiden O'Connell. That was Farva.
Yeah, it was Farva. I think
that's a good question, Nick, but you knew coach was going to try to throw one my way.
Yeah, I was probably,
you know what? I was actually preparing for a shot there. I had prepared myself. My only thing, if you go through the list, let's go position by position. You look at receiver. They have Devontae Adams. We can stop there. They win that spot. Mm-hmm. You go offensive line. To be honest, I don't know enough about the Raiders.
Well, we're not talking about 1 year. We're not just talking about about in general. I mean, you guys got Tim.
But what Nick's doing is look at the pieces. Look at the pieces in place. I would say we have more pieces on almost every side of the ball than they do. I'd say their main advantage is Pat Surtain.
I will say this: I trust Sean Payton more than I trust Antonio Pierce.
That's fair.
Yep, that's
Antonio
fair.
Pierce doesn't have a resume
as far as winners go and whatnot. You know, I'm gonna roll with Sean, but. Either way, it wouldn't be ideal if he came to the, you know, because then we got we got some battles. We got Justin, we got Drake and Patty and whoever else, maybe, you know, Gardner Minshew. So
hopefully, no, hopefully there's another name you're going to say in there come April 25th. But yeah, that's the scare. I mean, we've always kind of had the bottom feeder with the quarterback position. So I would like that trend to die, as I'm sure Nick would with his team as well. Coach and I had an emergency episode back in the day a couple of years ago when Russell Wilson got drafted and we were freaking out. And luckily it wasn't anything to freak out about, but that's just the nature of this division. It's still,
when you got traded, when you got out
traded. Traded. Excuse me. What I say?
Drafted. When you got traded.
Oh, not drafted. Traded. Yeah. Excuse me. But yeah. So,
I was freaking out too, believe it or not. But
well, who wouldn't? He was fantastic in Seattle. It just wasn't a fit.
Winningest quarterback of all time for his first 10 years.
Right. Who wouldn't be excited about that? It just wasn't the right puzzle piece. But I think we're gonna have to see a few more moves. Like, I would expect one more team to kind of trade up prior to the draft. But I think draft night we're gonna see some wild moves up and down. We might see some players traded, and our coach was just bugging out live at the draft and we were watching whatever the Lions were doing, which I mean, I guess kind of ended up working out for them, but that was a general consensus when we were in Kansas City, is everyone was like, what are they doing?
Right.
And you know, time will kind of tell if that still was the right set of moves for them to make. But at the time, coach was like, look at this. So we'll see what's up. But everybody, so hit up Nick, STL_Bronco on Twitter. You already know me and coach. We appreciated the comments. I didn't read any of them because most of them were anti-Broncos and we don't got time for that. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll catch you I believe April 1st we got another guest coming on, but Nick will be popping up again in the future to talk some Broncos and just complete this AFC West battle. There's not enough Charger fans out there to find one to have him on the show, so it'll probably just be the three of us.
The trifecta. Yep.
Right. But Nick, thanks for coming on, bud. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.